podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
And for me and Suj, it's both the same. It's Mo Salah in game week one.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody, welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name's Suj.
And my name is James.
What day is it? Friday?
It's Friday. For those who are not on Patreon, Can you just revel in Wednesday night a little bit for a moment?
I can't even... Why? Why on Wednesday?
One night in Prague.
I had a really nice chicken wrap with chips for dinner. And a bottle of Budweiser. Is that what we're talking about?
I'll repeat what I said to you on Patreon yesterday. Congratulations.
Trophy winners. Honestly, yesterday I went down to the bus parade. I was a bit tired, to be honest. I hadn't slept properly for a couple of days. I've obviously had a few drinks on the Wednesday. Yes, we won the trophy. Really weird. Being in North London, I'm not surrounded by my West Ham fan friends. Everyone's kind of spread all over the place. I watch the game at home and you kind of watch it and it's cool, but then there's no real big party afterwards when we'd won it. It's just me, myself and my sofa. Yesterday I went down to the bus parade and it actually sunk in, and I think for everybody to see the volume of people come out and what it means to everybody. A lot of people, our message had said that not a lot of people come out, there's loads of people still in Prague, which is true, but so many people out yesterday, hundreds of thousands, and the kids, old people. Like, I was talking to random people on the train on the way into town, at the pub, some random geezer, some people in their 70s that have been to like the 75 Cup final and the 80 Cup final and all this kind of stuff. And they've got stories from here, there, everywhere, remembering stuff. And you're just like, it's all the stories from all the fans of everything up to this point is what it was all about. Like, celebrating with other fans, bringing everybody together. There was tall people, there was short people, there was thin people, there was fat people, there was young people, there was old people, there was white people, there was black people, there was everything, right? All together for one reason, which was the sport of football and the club that we all love. And that, I think, was what the nice part of it all was, when it brings people together. That's what sport should do, right? The problem with sport sometimes is that it can be divisive. It's your team against my team and you're shit and we're good, and why can't we all just enjoy it?
Because we don't all win something.
But I mean look, you know what, I'm happy for Brighton to be in the Europa League. I'm happy for Villa to, after that, you can have a bit of appreciation. And I would also add, James, on social, on Twitter and stuff after Wednesday, we're digressing a bit from the game, I haven't seen a lot of like bitterness or negativity, which you might see from other rival fan clubs, if it's a Mickey Mouse trophy or whatever. I think the majority of other clubs' fans have been positive about it, which is nice. And it's like, actually, you know what? We do want to win that trophy, and good on them for going on and winning it and stuff. You'll get everywhere, there's a 1% of idiots, even on the stands, throwing cups. But yesterday, to be around everybody and see it, and the variety of different people, was amazing. And we're going to be milking it for ages.
Good.
And so should we. I want the players and the fans and everybody to be like, we want more of this. Like, we want more of it. You could tell the players were absolutely buzzing. That on the big balcony on the town hall, they were just, it was like a nightclub on her balcony. They were just raving and dancing and obviously enjoying the moment. It was, yeah, I think they were surprised probably as well to see that many people come out.
Right, that's enough.
So, yeah, buzzing, mate, still.
No, genuinely, well done. And to all our West Ham followers, yeah, congratulations, genuinely. Yeah. It is nice to see that. I think, do you know what I think it was? I was reflecting on the pod we did yesterday. And I think in hindsight, say my team had won the Conference League last year, the reaction of positivity towards my team wouldn't have been as what it is
probably
nice to yours. And I think a big part of that as well is, even though my team hasn't won something for ages, they've been in the Champions League final, stuff like that, it's almost like we've forgotten what it's like for clubs like yours to win things.
Yeah.
That's why Leicester was so romantic and that, right? Mm. It's like, oh shit, someone from outside the greedy six or seven actually went and did something and won a trophy in Europe. Like, celebrate it.
Yeah.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
So,
and congrats, mate. I mean, we were talking about like the with some of the people around, let's say the next tier of clubs outside the big six, and we're up there in terms of one of the biggest in terms of fan base and what have you. If you look at the likes of Leicester, Brighton, they're much smaller football clubs, whereas we have the following and the potential to be as big as with the fan base and the size of it. The one that I would say is obviously now massively up there is Newcastle, because they have an incredible fan base and set up an infrastructure as well. But Newcastle, West Ham, you'd say the next biggest clubs to break through. And seeing that yesterday, I just hope it
the Villa fans are coming for you.
Yeah, for actually, to be fair, you can chuck them and in as well, but similar, they haven't had Villa as haven't much won recent it, success.
Well, Villa haven't won anything. That's the point. Villa haven't won. Behind the greedy six, you got clubs like yours. Newcastle haven't won anything since the 60s. Villa since 1996, I think.
Yeah.
So, like, the clubs directly behind it, although big clubs, yeah, when did Leeds last win something? Going back to the 70s and stuff, right? So, 1992, won league title, sorry. So, these big clubs who've been behind it, Everton, FA Cup 95, right?
Yeah, yeah.
These big clubs.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not... if Villa did an open top bus parade, they might get 100,000 people in the streets of Birmingham for sure.
They would.
Everton definitely would be exactly the same definitely as well. So, yeah, I'm not saying, like, we're the next biggest. I'm just saying that these clubs, we have huge, big followings that... I'd like to see, I wish it for all of them to be able to enjoy that moment. I wish it for all of them.
That's what I'm saying. I think
just if they're not against us.
There was an enjoyment for the moment because it's been a while since a club like yours has won something that. And no one else can sing Europa Conference League Champions. You'll never sing that. That's your song now, mate.
For now.
And Bowen's on fire.
Yes, indeed.
We are here today to wrap up the FPL season.
What's that? I've forgotten. A world has not revolved around FPL for a little while, I'll tell you that.
I was way too hungover on Sunday from Saturday's game week 39 to be looking into the detail of mine and Suj's FPL seasons. And this is kind of more like a banter us on our season. What was good? What was bad? It's not, you know, strictly like detailed as hell, but... shout out to a number of people's tools I've used, FPL Optimized, FPL Review, Premier FPL Tools. There's another website, shite, I can't remember the name of, and if it comes to me, I'll shout them out. I use their website as well, but it's not like a Twitter account. But there's loads of really good tools out there to like review your FPL seasons and stuff.
Yep.
And we're going to have a look at some of the good and laugh at some of the bad. So, Suj, you beat me this year. Yes. Congratulations.
Yes.
Despite having your worst game week of the season in game week 38.
that will gloss over.
So I finished on 224,000 and Suj, you finished on 123,000. In terms of chips, we were quite similar. We both triple captained Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, double game week, pretty standard.
Which was successful. I think it was only Haaland's hat-trick against Manchester United in the 6-3 where he had an assist as well, was the only one that we both could have had that would have actually been more higher. So,
right.
That was nice to cover because Haaland had a couple of doubles around it as well. Mm. And we chose not to triple captain. Or I know loads of people triple captained Rashford that week. And it was obviously successful. Last year, it was like there were so many went off, weren't there? Salah 26, even Jared Bowen 21.
And KDB at the end of
KDB,
the season.
KDB, Andy Martin, good morning, mate. game week 36, I mean, Harry Kane that week as well.
Yeah.
So there were a lot. There were more probably misses this week. Rashford was...
Yeah,
was basically the best that had a double. Bench boost, we both bench boosted in game week 29.
Yes.
A big double. I got 21 points from my bench boost. I think you got 28.
Yes.
What's interesting about that is you had three single game week players on the bench.
Yep.
I did not.
I didn't want to move them on. Like, I didn't want to take a hit for... I didn't feel... The fixtures were good for them, right? So I didn't feel like a hit was worth it for a double. For those guys.
So your bench was still in goal.
Yes.
Got your 10 points.
Yes.
You had Harry Kane scored at Everton.
Yes.
Ben White scored against Leeds. Bukayo Saka 1 point against Leeds. That was the one it came out like 5 minutes before deadline, wasn't it? He's not well or something. He's not going to be in the team. For myself, I had double Brentford defence. It was Raya and Rico Henry. Raya had all them saves at Brighton, didn't he, if you remember, in that mad 3-3 draw. I had a clean sheet off Sven Botman, and I had Iheanacho, which turned out to be, I think in hindsight, an unlucky pick.
That was a mad game week. 139 points are scored in that game week.
My worst game week rank of the season. You ready for a proper laugh, Suj?
Is it going to be like 10 million plus?
No. So my worst actual game week rank of the season was 7.5 million. That was the week of the second wild card.
Wow.
My worst game week rank of the season was when I wildcarded, which was the now infamous Liverpool battering of Manchester United when Liverpool won 7-0. And yes, I think I had Nunes and Salah going into that week, I think. And obviously wildcarded them out. It might have even been Trent as well, just having a look back. Yeah, Trent. Yeah, all three of them. Trent, Salah and Nunes. Because Liverpool had the double in 25 the week before. That was my worst. Your worst game week rank of the season, so it was literally. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what your game week rank was in 38?
I don't.
9.48 million.
I would have been comfortably top 100k if I did. All I was doing was Saka, Kane. Saka and Kane was my two moves I wanted to make that week. Anyway.
Yeah. I think best game week rank for you was the bench boost week.
Yeah, 118.
Actually, no, that's not true. It was your free hit week. Game week 32.
79 I went that week.
78 points, 93,000. We both had decent free hits that week, which is nice when you do it, particularly in a blank game week. There is always the concern that it will be... I mean, game week 38 was a bit shit, really, other than Harry Kane, wasn't it? You free hit into a game week like that, you've got low scoring, but I think there was a lot of players with the Liverpool-Arsenal attacking players. Newcastle, if you went for it. That's probably my biggest regret of the season, was benching Joel Linton on my free hit in game week 32. It's just stuck to my guns and gone, nah, I think they're going to do us a dirty and play. I'm going to take you through some bits from the season.
So tell me about these chips, though. We're talking about these chips, bench boost, free hit. Would you do anything different?
No.
I don't feel like, I think we...
I mean, in hindsight, if I'd have waited for the wild card one extra week, I mean, it's worth saying the 26 was bad, but then the run I went on from 27 up to the next kind of set of wild cards, 33, 34, like I had decent gains in there, right? Just 26 slapped me so bad. Those who waited till 27 had a brilliant period. And those players that I selected in 26 came good, right? Like Tony did well as captaincy the following week, the Brighton players, the getting Ollie Watkins in for over that period and stuff. They did well, just not in 26.
A long period, Ollie Watkins. I never owned him. And it's funny, you will talk about players that hurt me. I thought Ollie Watkins might be right up there. Definitely next season when we get into silly season with doubles and blanks and on every stream and on all the questions and Q&As, how many doublers should I get is going to be the question. And I think we were pretty good this season depends who the doublers are, but even more so, like I'm not going to overlook in-form single game week players with good fixtures over not as good. That I think is my biggest takeaway is don't force the chips around the doubles to get doublers if it doesn't make logical sense with the eye test and what's happening around fixtures. And that's what happened with us. I avoided the first, when you wildcarded, I could have wildcarded at the same time, but I just didn't feel like moving away from some of the existing players I had who were in form and scoring points actually made sense. And then just kind of, if in doubt, I've always found do nothing is never that bad.
You'd held your wild card till like 34, didn't you?
Yeah, I held it back a little bit because I didn't need to use it. I could have used it, but I didn't feel like I needed it.
No, I get that. What's interesting about that is when you wild card, you've been 96K and up to 37, you went up to 75K. Now, at that period of the season, the ability to make gains is so tough.
Yeah, it's hard.
And then obviously you've ended up going backwards because you didn't doing anything in game week 38 it's a shame, mate, because you've never finished at 100k and even
I'm
literally
win it next year, so I'm not
just
worse,
buying, man. Harry Kane,
I am going to win it next year, though.
You're going to win FPL,
correct?
Okay, boss, I look forward to that. So do you know how many points you actually beat me by in the end? It's a sizable amount.
33,
which is it's a sizable amount of points. And if we consider that if you bought Harry Kane...
Yeah, it might be 50 points, isn't it?
And captained him in game week 38, you'd have been more like sort of 60 or so, basically, right? Yeah. But let's work on that. You beat me by 33 points. There's a few interesting things. And Suj hasn't seen any of this data as yet that I've pulled out. So captaincy points. I got 32 more than you.
Okay.
Interesting. 658 for you, 690 for me.
So 32 more points. It's about 5%. So yeah, that's it's an extra point a week almost, kind of.
It's one Erling Haaland good week, isn't it?
That's what it was in the end, probably, when I didn't get him in 32.
24 points, game at 13.
Yeah.
When he got the points at Southampton and a few people waited.
Yeah.
There's 24 points of that. 32 is made up of that. So you could remove that and say it's pretty close. Vice-captaincy points, interestingly, as well, in terms of, not that it particularly matters, but
I don't even feel like I ever had vice-captain pick up the
armband. No, but it's interesting that 309 points on the players that I vice-captained, only 276 for yourself.
Oh, okay. But then we didn't get those doubled up points, but that's who we chose. Yeah.
My percentage of captaincy points was 27.78 and yours was 26.14%. Okay. Now, that probably doesn't sound like a lot. It is when you're talking about
2,000,
a proportion of 2,500 points there. Yeah, enough.
Yeah. So does that go to show that I had a better spread?
Possibly.
Because if you look from the fringe.
If you look at, this is taken from Premier FPL Tools, difference between your captain points and highest possible for me was 342. So if I always captained my highest scoring player every week, my difference was 342. For yours, 398.
Wow. Okay. So I've had players that perform better across. Yeah. So that goes to show that the fringe has done better. The non-premiums potentially have done better. Yeah.
Yep. Also want to take you through a couple of other little bits. Highest game week scores of the season were obviously the bench boost. So yeah, 136 for me, 139 for you.
Yeah,
my lowest game week score was 35.
Wow.
Which is not bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Yours?
26.
Was the 26 on final day. My median, so it's the middle score if you'd listed out in order, all my game week scores was 64. Yours was 67. And I never had a game week rank inside the top 100K, Serge.
Okay.
You did with that 93K. But then I also, you had, my lowest game week rank was the one I said, 7.5 million when a wild card in 26. You had, I think, four worse than that.
Wow.
Interestingly, you had two or so in the 8 million and another one in 9 million across the week as well.
A 38 and a 39.
So it probably shows there was probably more consistency.
In your season.
In mine. Yours was more.
The weeks that banged, basically.
Yeah, probably
like
more
I
that,
said,
yeah.
I had 105, 120, 139, 109. I spoke about it previously, like 100-point game weeks. I had a 99, a 98. I had loads in the 80s and 90s. And I also have a 38, a 38, a 39, a 26. Quite a few shit game weeks in there as well.
So, really interesting one. I haven't got it in front of us, but I've looked at it, a bar graph of our season, because obviously you've been in front of me near enough all through throughout. Yep. And it's interesting when you look at the starts that we both had. So for me, I wildcarded in game week 8 the first time. Do you remember when you did it?
I don't.
You did it 15, in game week 10, yeah. So a little bit late. Now, going into that week, game week 7, you were at, after game week 7, which was obviously the week where there wasn't any games, you were at 337K.
Yeah.
I was at 1.8 million.
Whew, that's a big difference.
By game week 11, I was at 250K.
I was at 796,000.
You were at 796.
That's a massive swing in that period.
So then
obviously, it's early in the season, it's easy.
Yeah, but that's me jumped from 1.5 million places behind you, and yes, it's early, to 500,000 places in front of you in the space of four game weeks.
Yeah.
Because when I started looking at it at first, I thought, oh my God, Suj had so much of a better start than me, than what I had. But actually, I flipped it back.
Very quick.
Then you've obviously wildcarded in game week 10. And to be honest, your gains weren't brilliant. Like,
nah.
You actually dropped.
Yeah.
So at the halfway point, at the end of game week 16, when we obviously broke for the World Cup, you were at 640K. I dropped back to 733.
Yeah.
So neither of us were pulling
to
up
your,
trees.
Your team in that period?
What's that?
Why did you drop back so much? Did you?
I think it was others like you coming into wild cards and stuff.
Okay. So other people catching
and
up.
I went in quite a bit with people. I went with people like Bowen, Madison, who had those really short like burst of fixtures.
Yeah.
Then had to move it back around to sort of City, Liverpool, Arsenal players and stuff.
You are a fixture guy.
Yes, you know I am. The real difference in our seasons comes about from the restart period. So we both said, obviously, we triple captained Marcus Rashford in game week, game week 22, I think it was, Suj.
Yes.
Yes. So we restarted game week 17. So coming before game week 22, you're at 828K, whereas you were at 640. So you've dipped back a little bit, but my dip back was quite alarming. I went outside the top million, despite being at a better position. So that period on the unlimited was what really, really hurt me badly. Because then obviously Rashford's triple captaincy, all it did was get me back to the part that I'd lost over the previous 4 weeks. Yeah. Whereas you hadn't dropped as bad and jumped further.
Yeah, I went 828 to 392 in 2 weeks.
So
decent.
There were certain things that hurt me over that period was players that I picked defensively, like Reece James, João Cancelo, didn't do the business for me. I went Anthony Martial over that Christmas period. Fortunately, I did go Marcus Rashford from Unlimited. That basically saved me a little bit, obviously having him in place. I went to reflect, though, on our game week one selection. So I started with a 5-3-2.
Yep.
Premium defenders, woohoo! Some good choices, some bad end choices in there. Actually, no, there was Kieran Trippier and there was 4 bad choices. So the 11 I started the season with was Ramsdale, Alexander-Arnold, Robertson, Cancelo. I know there's plenty of others went Reece James, I didn't. I went Matty Cash and Kieran Trippier. Luis Diaz of Liverpool, Gabriel Martinelli was a good choice from Arsenal. Heung-Min Son, I went with Sonny. Jesus and Haaland up front, and I went with Pereira and De Silva as 2 budget 4.5 million midfielders. Your strategy at the start was very different in the sense
3-5-2.
Well, we basically said the 10 players.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
4
and
shit
that,
ones.
And I'm going to do it again next season is my plan. I can't say I'm going to because I've kind of seen the prices and who's at what price, right? But my plan will be to fuck the bench, whatever, and a couple of budgets and then power the money elsewhere if I can.
So you went with Andreas Pereira, Nico Williams, Nathan Patterson and the 4.5 Archer. Million forward. And obviously you went Danny Ward as your backup goalkeeper as well. Yeah. That allowed you a little bit more power where if you compare with mine, we actually went, I mean, we both went Pereira, we both went Jesus, Haaland, Diaz, Martinelli and Son.
Yep.
You had Kulusevski as well.
Yeah, so the big debate at the time was that 8 million midfielders,
so you went with
Diaz,
two of them.
Kulu, Mount, Saka, Madison, Bowen. There was a fuck ton in that and I've probably missed that a couple as well, even like the City guys, right? And it was, can you fit one in or two in with your structure? I ended up with 2 because of that cheaping out. And Kulu did really well for me at the start of the season. Obviously dipped off.
Scored 13, game week one,
It dipped off a little bit. Luis Diaz was very much to do with historical bias. When I look at my game week one team, there's still players in there like, why did I pick you? Like Alisson. But I feel like that was just a safety net pick. And I probably had money to spend on it, but just wanted the clean sheet safety net points. I don't think I'd do Alisson again. I'm going to find the 4.5 or a 5. But then, remember
Brentford's
this year...
Brentford's new goalie, if it's 4.5,
there was
we'll
no,
be in everybody's team.
There was no 6 million keepers this year, which there have been. Edison and Alisson were 5-5, weren't they, at the start of the season? So the differential wasn't as big as it has been previously.
I mean, look, if you'd gone Alisson all season, you'd done all right. If you went Edison all season...
Nah. Challenge.
We're going to show you here, so just from FPL Optimized. This is our highest scoring players. It's not budget restricted. Highest scoring players across the season. And there's a lot of similarities, but there's some interesting differences.
Set up both as 3-5-2s.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, to be honest, I'll show you this first, actually. This is formations across the season. So basically, when we play, and this goes for both of us, when we play 3 up front, we average more in the high 50s and the 60s. When we play 2 up front, we average in the 70s. And that's not over small periods, but it's interesting that we both picked... I used 3-4-3 19 times. You used it 13 times, and both averaged across that 65 points. If you look at 4-4-2 for me, 6 occasions, 74 points. 3-5-2, 5 occasions, 75 points. And for you... 71 and 69 respectively with those formations as well. I also played, as you can probably see, I played 5-3-2 mm-hmm. at the start of the season as well, averaging in the 57 area. So not great.
Would you with that data, would you ignore 3-4-3 a bit more?
Not necessarily, because it's all dependent on the prices next year, right? To sit here now and go, right, I'm going to play 3-5-2 next year. No, because if there's three brilliantly priced forwards, and I think you probably will find that it's easier to find really nice priced forwards than nice priced midfielders going into the season. I mean, everybody started with Neto last year, didn't they? Except me and you, actually.
We didn't.
We found the extra Martinelli by cutting something else. So it was probably me going Matty Cash rather than Reece James. It was something like that. Yeah. Interestingly, we look at his team of the seasons. Kepa, 34 points is the most points had from any goalkeeper across the season. You obviously had him for longest. You got double that, basically. And the rest, 76 points.
Got in quite early on Kepa.
He had a lot more of Kieran Trippier than you. 172 versus 145. I was late on Trippier,
for sure.
How late? Do you remember?
No, but it was definitely... close towards just before the World Cup. I was late on Trippier.
Trent, I had more points off than you. I had 84.
I missed all of the end of the season, Trent.
But
I ended up VVD, right? That's why.
Of course you did. We'll get back onto him. João Cancelo appears in both of our teams of the season because we both had him for every game week for the first
Even though he
16.
Wasn't here for half a season, and he's still one of our top-scoring defenders. That's fucking mad.
That period, I think it was from, including the game he got sent off against Fulham, which I think was game week 13, it might have been game week 14, up to the point he left, which was like game week 21 or 22, is like 10 points over like 8 or 9 game weeks, and he was in my starting 11 every week. In midfield, as we said, fives, lot more points for Mo Salah, you than me. He had 184 of him rather than my 132. Rashford is similar, both over just slightly over 200. Martinelli, we both had exactly the same off him, 112. Saka, I had 107, you had 110, similar. KDB, 76 versus 80.
Yeah.
Little differences, I had 20 more points off of Haaland than you, which, again, we said game week 30 was that Makes was a 24-point difference. But then that's made up with Ollie Watkins actually appears in my team of the season for just having him from that period, sort of 26 up to 33-ish.
64
points. You had 84 points off of Harry Kane, which is still quite low, right? Yeah, Harry Kane relatively. Finished on how many points?
2-something.
I mean, that's one. I think if we'd all go back and do it again, Harry Kane would have just sat in there all season and not been blinded by thinking, this is too much money for a player I'll never captain. It's probably a mistake of mine that I say it all the time. This time last year at the start, when it's not this, nearly 2 years ago at the start of the season, I was talking about not paying for Bruno Fernandes. And to be honest, it kind of proved to be all right to do that. But I was looking at, I'm only going to captain him once out of the first 11 game weeks. I'm not paying 12 million or whatever he was. And it was the same that I couldn't shake that idea with Kane this year. But then I still had Mo Salah quite a lot.
Kane broke...
Plus he wasn't hauling much.
Talisman theory more than anything else.
He wasn't so hauling much.
I'm not overly beating myself up about the Kane, not owning Kane as much throughout and the set and forget with him, not as captain, but as in your team, for a couple of reasons. One was, I think at the start of the season, so many people tipped Spurs to challenge for the title or even top three because of the transfer window. So with that in mind,
every correspondent bar three,
with that in mind, we should have backed Kane. So I think we got blinded by that
Sonny,
by we're not, yeah, perhaps that was the decision. You're right, because I look at Son, I'm like, why did I put him in? But we probably thought
Sonny,
if I'm not gonna
golden boot,
yeah, and
we'll come back onto that game week one in a second.
The second part of it is, with respect, like, even when you were top four and then were starting to drift out of it, you were shite for so much of it. That talisman theory, he took it to a whole different level this year. I know Tom Cantle said that he's not doing it this summer. He's got his little one to look after and what have you, and I completely understand that. If he did last year's recap on talisman theory, Kane must have broken that to another level because he was so dominant for you. I don't think anyone would have said Kane's going to score 30 goals this season. Because a lot of goals to score, 30 goals, when Golden Boot's been 20, 22,
actually,
23, 24.
I think as well, from an FPL perspective, A, because of Haaland, and B, Tottenham's performances, it doesn't really feel like Harry Kane did score that. Plus,
but
like I said, he scored in 26 games, right?
Yeah.
So he scored 30 goals, he scored 20 in 26 different games. That means there's only four games where he scored twice, right?
Kane's going to score three times as many goals as Son. that doesn't make sense. Like, you think of them as a tag team. So if you'd said to me, Son's going to have his shittest season for 4 years, but by the way, Kane's going to still absolutely smash it. It didn't quite make logical sense, other than we know that he's just an outstanding football player and has been being consistent. And it's been not only so many different games. There's penalties, there's headers, there's left foot, there's right foot. It's just a mixture of this, that and the other. That he's always been there to keep chipping away and pick it up the points. So, yeah.
6 double-digit hauls for Harry Kane, 11 for Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
So,
but net, not a big differential in points. So Erling Haaland's had way more blanks than Harry Kane. Must have had. Well, he's injured. So I suppose
He's got 15 points from the last 5, so he's averaging 3 points per game, and I didn't realise
basically a blank.
You only started 3 of them, right?
But still, it's still.
He's also the Liverpool game 29. You have to remember that Harry Kane started every game for Tottenham.
This is
right?
It, right? Where you're talking about, I'm not going to captain him, but if you want a reliable player that's going to play 90 minutes week in, week out, that was Kane.
Price next year, Haaland.
14 million. Is that what I think he should be, or what I think he will be?
What do you think he should be?
15 million.
What do you think he will be?
14 million.
Yeah, I think he's got to be 14.
I remember Thierry Henry, when he was Thierry Henry at his peak, was 14 million when he... So I think that's where he's going to go.
Do you think that will put anyone off?
14 million?
Yeah.
Not even close to putting me off. He'll be in straight in at 14 million.
If he was 15 million?
16 million, I would think. 15 million, he'd be straight in. 16 million, I'd have to think about it.
I think at 16, he still goes in for me.
Depends on other players and what I can do with my squad. But 14, also, he's straight in.
He's the most important player in essence, that he's probably going to get captain most often, unless some... I mean, imagine from the perspective of the league, right? Imagine Kane leaves.
Yeah.
You're taking away another competitive captaincy option, right? Sonny's probably off the table now. Mo Salah's obviously competitive. Marcus Rashford's competitive.
What do you think Kane will come in at?
Arsenal doesn't have a standout regularly to, okay, that's going to be my guy every week.
So I think Kane will only come in at 12 and a half. If Haaland comes in at 14, I think Kane will be 12
what
and a half.
It would be more interesting if they put Haaland at like 15 and they put Kane in at like 11.
But I don't know if that... What you're trying to create there...
They can't drop Kane's price.
What you're trying to create there is a decision. But actually, the decision might be both. It probably still is both for most people. So
yeah, actually, that's a fair point. Actually, dropping Kane's price makes it easier to put Haaland in, both. Doesn't it? So maybe.
I don't know. That's fair. I think Kane will come in at 12 and a half or 13 and Haaland at 14.
I'm going to show you this, Suj, which is a breakdown of where all our points come from, essentially across the season. And there's a few interesting things.
By position?
No, this is all players, in points scored across the season and where those points come from. And what's interesting about it is I beat you in most places. So even bizarrely...
Oh, I see what you mean. This is like as in clean sheets. Yeah. Penalties, that's what you
so
mean.
So I've got from. In terms of this, and this is FPL points. Points from minutes played. I've got 29 more points than you.
So more points per minute.
998 and you've got 969.
Okay.
It's nearly a point a week.
Yeah.
Clean sheets. I got 302 points in the season.
But that points per minute could either be your players have played less minutes, so the dividing numbers is or bigger or smaller or what have you. So maybe a lot of your players missed game time.
Why?
So then you're dividing 1,000 points by 20 minutes rather than by 25 minutes or something like that. So it's either the points is higher and the minutes could be higher but just less proportionate, or actually your players played less minutes. I'm interested to see that.
How many players did you have in game at 38? You also thinned out your bench much more than me at the start well. Clean sheet points, you got 6 more than me across the season. 302 for me, 308
clean sheets, not a lot.
But that's made up by goals. So I got 725 points from goals scored. You got 715 so far.
725, did you say?
I got 725. That's you got 715.
Again, against Southampton.
FPL bonus points scored across the season. For me, 294. For you, 295.
Oof.
Might as well call it a draw. Save points from goalkeepers. I got 21. You got 20. Might as well call it the same. Goals conceded. So these are points lost for getting beat 7-0 and shit like
it's
that.
Some minus points, basically. Yeah, yeah.
Minus 49 for me, minus 52 for you.
It's there or thereabouts.
Basically the same. We both had one own goal this season for a minus 4.
Is that Trips?
It probably is. Game with 38, actually. Yeah. But no, there's got to be two in there, isn't there? It's only two, minus two, isn't it?
Okay.
So Trips and one more, which always feels like it's Lewis Dunk, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't Lewis Dunk. I even had 5 points for, you had 5 points, sorry, from a penalty save this year. Who was that? Do you remember?
Pope?
Might have been. Oh, from Tony, maybe. Did you have both? Pope? Did you have Pope at that period? Pope?
I had him in Sky. Did I have him in this?
Which is mad interesting, by the way, right? Because I had three players miss penalties across the season. You had five. You actually had three in two game weeks, if you remember. You had Saka at West Ham, Salah against Arsenal. So both in Arsenal games, and Tony against Newcastle. You had two others as well. I think Wilf Zaha was one, game week 16.
Did I own that bastard?
You always criticise me about Wilf Zaha, but I'm pretty sure that you
had probably
Wilf
because
Zaha.
I knew that it was like 2 weeks and he's binning out as soon as the unlimited period opened. The first thing I did was sell him.
We both had one red card each the season. You're probably getting the idea anyway here. It's quite similar.
Yeah.
Except for two things, there's a big disparity between what you scored and what I scored.
I'm fascinated.
One is hits. So you took 28 points worth of hits. I took 48.
Woo!
Thanks, Nico. So that's a sizable difference, I think, across
the season.
Which I always say to you, like, it doesn't work for me when I'm aggressive,
yeah.
Not often, but then the minus four on the final day, you could say I was, but I didn't need to take the Harry Kane wasn't the minus four. The minus four was getting Odegaard.
Mm.
And listen, okay, they won 5-0 and I've missed. It feels like it's been that sort of season. That's a lot more hits.
Yep. I don't see myself taking more hits again next season. I'm a very steady. I don't take a lot of hits in general.
It's interesting when Chris Duckworth came on the pod the other day, our advanced tier mini league winner, and he was like, I avoid that. It's not like I won't do it, but I avoid it. If there's something I can wait for a week, I will wait for a week rather than and knowing, you know, if it's going to be like I want to get Salah in and captain him, fine, I'm going to take the hit if need be. But he's like completely avoids it. So that's 20 points of the makeup. And I don't know what to make up of this other one, Suj, because this is bizarre. So the FPL points I got from assists this season were 318. For you, was 366.
Loads more assists in there.
A shitload, mate.
Loads more assists.
48 point difference on FPL assists. I don't know how to begin to explain how that's happened.
Kulu at the start of the season.
No, mate. It's not.
And
I'm going to try and figure out where this comes from. But that's what you've beat me on is assists.
That's mad. Who got the assist?
So, yeah, Tony. Hello, Tom.
I know you got a little baby there, but put it to one side and figure this out, buddy, please, because we need to know who got the assists for me.
That's remarkable, isn't it?
Yes.
That's not what you expect it to be on, I don't think.
I would have never guessed it.
That mean that I'm picking players more that I'm just concentrating on the goals? Whereas you're going, he's steady, you'll pick up this bit here and now.
No, I've never thought he's steady.
He's basically, you've got an extra assist in than me, like, what, every three game weeks or so, right? And that's the difference.
Yeah, I don't buy play. I buy players because of their steadiness to chip away. I definitely agree with that. But so maybe I look at it as particularly, I'd be interested, a lot of these assists are going to come from midfield players rather than strikers. I like midfielders that can score points in multiple different ways, so assists and goals, and they've got a little bit of everything rather than just being goal scorers or assist merchants or something like that. Someone like Martinelli, he's a goal scorer. I don't think his assist count is going to be massive compared to his goals. Odegaard is both, for example. KDB is both. For example.
But we both had these players. We looked at it. KDBs and Salahs and stuff. We scored similar. Odegaard I barely had. Did you have quite a bit?
No. Not a huge amount. No. Saka for Martin season. But you've got it here. Like, does this tell us who's where our points came from in terms of players?
No. So what I'm showing you here is quite interesting is the amount of different players in our lineup. So there's only 9 players that I picked more than 10 times in the starting lineup. For you, there's 16.
Right.
And a lot of the players we...
But if you're taking more hits, you're making more chop and changing and more transfers as well.
There's a few players here that we perhaps didn't mention in like your team of the year, you've ended up using quite a bit of. Ivan Perisic.
Yeah.
You had a lot at the start. Yeah. And actually, if you remember, this will sound ridiculous now, every week I was like, I can't get him. And then I got him and it didn't work.
But in the end, it was also who's going to play fullback for Spurs was the fucking ongoing drama of the first half of the season. When are we going to see? Is it Sessegnon or Perisic? Is it Emerson Royal? Who was a? It wasn't Jed Spence. Who was on the right back? It was Royal or
some shit for us. Not Pedro Porro towards the end.
No.
Porro was playing Royal nearly every game.
Yeah.
Right. Doherty went, didn't he?
Yeah. Doherty or Royal.
Didn't play much either.
Nah. But there was the ongoing thing, and the thing is, like, I had Perisic, and then it's like, getting rid of him wasn't easy because of some of the fixtures you had and the timing of it. And I'm like, well, he's missed the last game, so I'll keep it for this one. Then he does well in one game. And then you're like, well, if he's played well in this one, maybe he'll play him again or not or what. I'm not going to touch that again ever.
You sure?
Yeah. I think you might even let him go in the summer.
Two players really to watch in pre-season, guys, are Pedro Porro and Destiny Udoji.
When I say I wouldn't touch us, I don't mean a Spurs fullback. I mean Perisic. I wouldn't go near.
He's probably going to go anyway.
Yeah, I don't think it's worked out.
Few others you had double figures of. Bukayo Saka we mentioned. Karim Mitoma, you basically had from that whole period towards the end. Ben White did pretty well for you.
I think for a lot of people,
maybe that's where some of the assists are.
4.5 mid defender at Arsenal with a steady Eddie, I think worked out well for a lot of people.
And Callum Wilson as well.
Yeah, he did well.
And I noticed Luke Shaw you had 9 times as well, who doesn't appear in sort of like my top 16 or so. Shay, this player's benched the most. So I benched Danny Ward 22 times, you benched him 27 times. Nico Williams and Andreas Pereira appear on the bench for you a lot, as does Pereira for me. The other one for me in double figures that I benched a lot was Botman, which was brave. For those who listen to the Sky Pods, and how burnt I was been getting by Newcastle clean sheets this year. But actually, the period I had him, didn't have many clean sheets, so he became quite easy to bench quite a lot there. Captaincy. How many times do you think you captained Erling Haaland?
38 game weeks. I'm going to say 28.
21 times.
Only? Okay.
Yeah. I thought the same. For me, it's 23 times. It felt like it's got to be in the 30s or something. But I think at the start, it took us a while.
It took us a few weeks.
Because the team I picked at the start was very much looking at a rotation of Haaland, Jesus and Son.
Yeah.
Which we'd laugh at in hindsight now, right?
Jesus started the season well.
Jesus had brilliant game week 2 where he scored 19 points against Leicester. And then straight afterwards, I had Bournemouth away and then Fulham at home. And we didn't quite know the strength of Fulham at that point. But I think back on that now, I think, oh my God, our captain Jesus at home to Fulham when Haaland had, I think he had Palace at home. Like, give me the same decision now. I'm obviously never making that decision. The only other player captained by more than 3 times by either of us, you captained Mo Salah 5 times. You captained Rashford and Saka 3 times. De Bruyne twice. Isak, Mitoma, Jesus and Son once. I captained Jesus twice, Rashford twice, Salah and Saka 3 times, Tony once, De Bruyne, Kane, Isak and Son once as well. What's quite interesting with this one, so just looking at gains, and again, this is taken from FPO Optimized, looking at individual gains, like which player in which week did us the very best. For me, it was captain Bukayo Saka in game week 25, got me, and it was a kind of a Saka or Salah captaincy. That was when Arsenal and Liverpool both had the double.
Yep.
Arsenal beat Everton 4-0 in the second game. That was actually the biggest individual gain for me across the season. The second, unbelievable, was Harry Kane game at 38. Show you that difference that it made for you.
That game week, was that when Salah came to our place? When Arsenal won 4-0, wasn't it West Ham, Liverpool on the same night? I feel like.
No, Liverpool played Wolves.
Oh, okay. That's different double
Wolves.
Game.
Yeah.
You were saying Van Dijk.
I think that was just a single in April. It was just game at 33. That was. And Saka actually appears as third as well. And I noticed, I've not pulled this data, but the player that was luckiest for me across the season by distance was Bukayo Saka. They also captained him in the blank game with 28 as well when he got 18 points as well. So Saka twice. Interesting, another one that gave me a big game was Kevin De Bruyne in game week 6, who I captained. But by the way, Erling Haaland that week is one of my biggest net losses.
Okay.
They played at Villa, and I didn't think Haaland was going to start, so I captained De Bruyne. De Bruyne got 7, Haaland got 9. Marcus Rashford, the triple captain, 22. Nice to see Alexander Isak was a big gainer for me, the free hit in game week 32, because I doubled down on that. Jason Steele, 34 in the double. He also appears sort of in your top 20 for game as well. But some of these net gains for you are much bigger, Suj. Jared Bowen, 9 as well against Wolves. Game week 9 against Wolves was also a decent gainer for me. There's more of yours spreads, and I think it's probably highlighted by two real differential ones that you had, actually. So the biggest net gain of any player for you across the season was Virgil van Dijk in that same game week 25, who scored you 24 points.
It was ridiculous.
Whose EO was 2.2%.
That was ridiculous that week.
You bought Virgil van Dijk because you couldn't afford to get one of the others,
Robertson,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, literally. That's it.
Brilliant.
That's it.
Callum Wilson, game week 14. Massive haul when they beat Aston Villa
4-0.
Yeah. 19 points.
So two goals and an assist, I think, from memory.
Did he get a hat-trick maybe even?
Okay.
It might have. A massive haul anyway. Game week 14, which because of what Wilson did at the end of the season, forgotten. Wilson's EO that day, game week 14, was 8.2% as well. Look, Salah, game week 26. 21 points for you. That same Saka haul for game week 25. So the game week 26... Salah's EO, 19.57% for that haul against.
Yeah, see, I already had him, and this a lot of people
Manchester United.
That's when you wildcarded him out. Yes. Yeah.
What a difference, yeah. Callum Wilson, game week 36, as well, doing the business for usage. So I imagine if we look at luck, that Callum Wilson's probably right near the top of you as well. You also captained Saka in that game week 28, and De Bruyne's game week 6 return against Villa's also in there as well. So I don't know if you thought the same as me. We thought Haaland wasn't going to start that day.
Yeah. I feel like that was a 5:30 game or something.
You had a nice return from De Bruyne game week 2 as well, 14-pointer against Bournemouth, yeah, which for a while was the only game Haaland hadn't scored in. Mitoma, 12-pointer game at 27. Isak game at 28, interestingly, in there as well. Did you have Isak on that free hit in 32?
Yeah.
You did. So he appears as one of my best ones. For me, no, not quite in the same way. Kulusevski, game week 1, you'd mentioned.
He did all right at the start.
13-pointer for you. And Jota, in game week 32, you had on free hit when the returns against Nottingham Forest. Those were your biggest individual gainers across the season. Let's laugh more at the ones that hurt us. And very interestingly, right at the top.
So these are players we owned that...
No, players we didn't own, but hurt us the most on individual weeks. And for me and Suj, it's both the same. It's Mo Salah in game week 1.
Wow. Because we just didn't go
we
with
went
him.
On Sun.
Yeah.
And when actually, even if you, that's one even you look back on hindsight, you think, oh, we shouldn't have gone. But Salah at Fulham or Sun at home to Southampton, and Sun had done well in pre-season, he looked lively, etc. I don't know, give me that decision again, I'm probably going Kane, aren't I? But it's almost one I look back on it on hindsight and think, was that the right play as a differential call right off the back? I think probably more the wider conversation of it is you look at Salah's massive EO in game week 1 and how much that affected us.
What was his EO, does it say?
Huge.
199.
It's, I put 195 there. I'm not sure what the ranking is in terms of the rank here, but it was massive EO.
That's huge.
Because obviously not too many were captain Haaland at that point. He was away to West Ham.
Yeah.
So Salah at Fulham was extremely popular.
Captain Haaland.
Arsenal were at Palace. So no one at that stage was going with like Jesus. That was a couple of weeks later. So it felt like actually it was Salah versus Son quite a lot. And nearly everybody it felt like went Salah. If that decision comes up again next year, I think one thing I might have learned this year is don't gamble early.
Yep.
Just go with it.
Don't gamble against the ownership. Yeah.
It's what everybody says, isn't it? When we speak to people who have had really good seasons, And it's not to say you can't stick do it, but template. Certainly at the start, it's like, do template. You want to get hammered in game week one? And we didn't get hammered because actually other players made up the difference for us. It wasn't too bad. You had Kulusevski's 13 as an example in game week one. I started with players who did okay, such as Martinelli and stuff. I started with Haaland and Jesus. So I wasn't miles off from that point. But if a captain Mo Salah in game week one and cut out something else, that's where people end up with Neto, right?
Mm.
We went Sun and didn't have Neto.
Yep.
These people end up with Neto but got 24 points off captaincy in game week one, whereas we had 10.
Yep.
So who's winning?
Yep.
They are, is the reality. Salah game week three, also...
Salah for you, mate.
That was the late goal at Old Trafford. Even though it was only an 8-pointer, that was one of the biggest net effects on me in the season, was that late goal at Old Trafford in game week three. Game week five, 10-pointer, hurt as well. It's Salah. Kane game week 27, Bruno Fernandes 37 against me. That was the worst one. Some of the more recent ones, Callum Wilson, game week 36, Estupinan game week 34, Estupinan 36, Fernandes 38. There's a few quite towards the end of this. So actually, those three, if you look at mine that hurt me most, in the first half of the season, it's only those three Salah ones, game week 1, 3, 5, that hurt me quite a bit. Whereas you had the Haaland game week 30 you never had, as we said.
Southampton.
Harry Kane last day of the season.
Of course.
James Maddison game week 9. Okay. It was a big haul, which I had as part of the wild card, 18-pointer. Ollie Watkins, 17-pointer. In the double game week 29.
I missed all of Ollie Watkins.
Ollie Watkins, 16-pointer game week 31.
I missed
31.
All of Ollie Watkins, yeah.
Bruno Fernandes, a repetitive one for both of us. You missed those two Estupinan hauls.
As well, yeah. I was never on my card to get Estupinan, especially because I had Steele.
It's interesting. It's easier to remember the negative ones rather than the positive ones. But I was quite surprised to see that my worst three affected was Salah in the opening five game weeks of last season. And I just think, just put that information in front of me again next year. I was in a far more positive mindset about Tottenham this time last year than I would be, well, I am now, let's say. I don't make that gamble again. So next year, that's going to be like a Haaland thing, isn't it? Mm. It's like we're talking about what price is Haaland going to be starting next season. Like, I'm not going against it. Yeah. The EO, unless they've got a brutal fixture list at the start, the EO is going to be too big to take the gamble.
Like 25% or less.
It's not even worth a debate.
It's not going to be.
I don't see how it is low.
It'll be 60-70%.
Even if, let's say they rocked into, let's say an awkward one like Tottenham away first game, and there's an unpredictability about it.
The Tottenham away that Pep's decided that he wants to score 6 goals.
He said it again the other day. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
When he was asked about Postecoglou, he said, oh, maybe we'll score there next year.
I might have to triple captain Haaland at Tottenham because they're going to be, it's like they're coming for you.
Yeah, by the way,
they're coming for you.
We'll talk about this more in July. We won't be playing a low block. We'll try and beat them now.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's probably on, mate.
Triple captain Haaland against Tottenham at the lane. What's it called? The new lane?
Just White Hart Lane will do fine. Okay. Sej. And just finally, from these high-scoring players to score sort of 160 or so, what's really interesting is there's only four players who were actually net positive gain for you across the season, which were Odegaard, Rashford, Saka and Alisson.
Wow.
Who just squeaks in.
All the other big point scorers were net gain neutral.
To be lost for you. Because you didn't have Haaland in game week 30, because of that 1 week, he was a net loss for you across the season. So all those little chip gains you had, Haaland got me
so
this,
it's
this,
exactly
this,
what
this.
You're saying
that
is,
1 week you didn't like, have.
If you try and go against the EO,
it was worse for you.
It will hurt. It can hurt.
Well, of course it can
EO
hurt.
EO is more important than maybe I thought about.
It's going against it when you truly believe it's wrong, right? Basically,
this is basically saying I owned these players and they did well because they scored a lot of points and still hurt me.
Yes, not having Erling Haaland in game week 30 was
one week was a
loss net nearly equivalent to your gain from him on the whole season.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
that's incredible. It feels like you dropped a bombshell right at the end. It's almost like you have to have these players not to rise in rank,
no, you
just
don't.
To stand still.
You just need to, and let's caveat this again to use the example of Jamie Piggott last season, who won official FPL, where
what,
he
was his wank at the end of the season?
His overall wank at the end of the season was he was wank number one. One for people who saw the interview that I had with him. He went against it at the end, right?
Yeah.
And that's what won it. So listen, it's a little, we discussed this with Sky, right? We had Paul McInaughty here who just won Sky Fantasy last Monday. And we discussed, like, there's still a limit. His play style was very template in Sky. But as we found out, that deviation where he basically went for the likes of Callum Wilson at the end did part win it for him, is the reality. So if you just go EO, 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 sure, if you want to win your mini league over your workmates and stuff, you're probably going to win it, is the reality. And the problem is people say, oh, it's sheep, etc. But if you use that Haaland 30 example, or even Salah game week one, hurts. It hurts, unfortunately. And for me, people say, ah, oh, James, you talk a lot of sense, but your FPL ranks aren't good. The reality I feel right now is if I just follow this shit next year, my rank will be better.
Yeah.
But I don't
boring.
Think... Yeah.
It's no fun.
Yeah, I don't think... I want that consistency for 38 weeks. So the next year, I think, it'll be a bit different because I think Haaland, subject to having an extremely difficult game week one fixture, which would have to be something like Newcastle away, I think. Because even Tottenham away, by the way, will be open. So it wouldn't be that. But it'd only probably be if City had like a Newcastle away, which is extremely unlikely because they both finished the top four. I think on the principle, they keep the top four apart in game week one. But City could have a Brighton away. But then does that scare you?
To Captain Haaland?
Like if it's Brighton away, game week one, like...
Go for it.
If it's Villa away...
If it depends what others have got, right? I'm not going to go against it.
It probably depends if Kane stays slash what Salah have got in terms of if you want to compete against it. So I think what I mean by that is I think inevitably I'm going to fall into a line that's going to be more protective against EO anyway, because I personally cannot foresee how I don't have Erling Haaland in game week one next year, irrespective of the price. You know me, I'd thump him up to something absurd to make me and others have to think about it. So, but I still think, just generally speaking, put that Son Salah choice in front of me like game week one last year, I'm going Son. I wouldn't now. No, but that's because...
last year you would have.
But
how
I felt at this time last year, what I'm saying is put me in that exact scenario where, let's just say hypothetically, Haaland is at Arsenal, which can't happen, but Haaland is at Arsenal and Kane's sitting there with Luton at home, or Salah's sitting there with Luton at home, and the EO is still with Haaland, like, I'm going to want to take that on. We speak about picking your battles, right? That's the one. Game week 30 didn't hurt in the sense of you lost against Haaland because you didn't have... It was a fixture you couldn't go against.
Yep.
Southampton
looking
away,
back at it. But that was also... That was awkward because of timing of doubles and blanks. More than just that one individual fixture. It was like, because it followed up by a blank, wasn't it, afterwards in 31?
So it's pick your battles. It's not captain Haaland every week. It's, we've seen from the big away games this year, teams can keep him out and stuff. It's where do you want to pick your battles? Southampton away is one. You just, if you think he's going to play, you're just not going to pick that battle, are you?
Mm.
That's how it feels. So unfortunately, there's probably some template learnings from this, which I imagine when I see the price and I'll be like, he's too cheap, he's too cheap, he's too cheap. And I want to take something on. I know that. And I don't think I should change that play style.
Yeah,
be interesting. Because it might be, when you look at this for both of us, you go, right, cover these decisions better, we both finish better. And obviously, if you make transfers in game week 38.
Well, yes, indeed. But like I said, you can't beat me next season, James, because I am going to finish number one in the world. So, yeah, you can try and finish second. And we'll get more viewers and listeners on this show.
You'd be like first and like forget game week 35 deadline.
Can you
or
imagine? That's a wrap, James. That's all our data stuff. So... that it's Friday, yes, I was going to shout a few people. Why don't you?
Well, I don't know. I was hoping you were going to do it, so I could think.
Well, I was going to shout out just all the listeners for listening to the show throughout the season. We've gone six seasons now, and it has flown by. And obviously, the last year and a bit since we've had Nico on board to help with the editing and all of that kind of stuff, we're with, and we've got Clayton on board now. it's really kicking on. So, and we couldn't do it without everybody's support, not just the patrons, but everybody that listens to the show and YouTube and what have you as well. Of course, all of the patrons as well that do support the show. If you want to come and join our community there, you can have head over to patreon.com/planetfpl.
You're not going to leave me anyone, are you? Keep going.
No. There's a very active Slack community over the summer. We're going to be pumping out content as soon as we get back to business on the 3rd of July. If you join an intermediate tier, there's so much of a back catalogue of stuff that you could listen to keep you occupied over that period. Do it. But of course, we just want to thank people in the Patreon community.
Because you want to support the show. Yeah. We don't promise to make anyone better FPL managers.
We have a wicked bunch of correspondents. We've got to give them a shout out throughout the season. They come on the show. They do it because they're passionate about their clubs. They do it because they're passionate about FPL. And they're just great people to listen to about their clubs. The problem is now you get so much clickbaity punditry crap on the mainstream channels. I think actually it's just a really refreshing, under appreciated resource to have these guys, because they all talk sense.
That's debatable.
I checked myself there. They all think they talk sense. You all
sense.
Know who you are if you do talk sense. But yes, definitely massive shout out to the correspondents as well. Who else are we adding in, James?
I mean, you've done the main ones. Correspondence is a huge one for me, and the time they give up is so underestimated and stuff, so I'm so thankful to them. The patron, you said Nico especially, for me makes my life a million times better than it was 18 months
but he's
ago.
Got to play FPL next season properly, fam.
Thank you, you got to
manage your team next season.
Mate,
go on,
yeah.
Nico,
he's still got Tony captain, so he's gonna have to do something.
Go on, Nico. Nico, I reckon if you beat me or James, there's got to be a reward in it somehow. Listeners, and then now we're talking, right? If Nico beats either one of us, doesn't matter. You don't have to beat both of us, either one of us. Come on, let's
listen,
see.
Offer him like an extra day's holiday and he'll try a proper.
We can make it. If you beat me, you get a day. If you beat James, you get a day. If you beat us both, that's 2 days. Done. Deal.
All right, cool.
It's on camera. You got it. Evidence.
You can offer Manchild whatever you want. He's got no chance.
Do nothing.
No.
Yes.
Thank you to everybody who's liked, shared, written reviews. Really important. Subscribed on YouTube. People fill up the comments. There's people, particularly on YouTube, every week I see now, it's like, hit the like. Yes. You know, comment into share and stuff. Thank you so much.
Nothing else now in the hiatus. And if you feel like you want to say thank you for this season, the six seasons, and anything and everything, just leave us a review wherever you're listening, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, whatever. Leave us a review and that'll do nicely. All we need.
Everybody else has guested on the pod this year.
Yes,
when
and there's been plenty
off somewhere. Too
and it's
many
only getting worse.
To mention.
I'm planning on pissing off a lot more, so, you know.
All right, fine. Okay, fine. Well, I'll be back on July the 3rd. I don't know about him.
No, I'll be here on July the 3rd. All right. Not so sure about July the 4th.
Look forward to it.
Everybody, thank you so much. And stay safe. Look after yourselves. Enjoy the next 3 weeks. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Be nice to each other. Enjoy the summer. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.